Venerable religious and dear parishioners, as we celebrate the feast of St. Raphael the Archangel today and continue to be in the month of the Holy Rosary, the thought occurred to me on what to preach on today, or at least one of the thoughts to mention to you, is how would an angel, or how does an angel pray the Hail Mary, which is the greater part of the Holy Rosary. We are celebrating the feast of St. Raphael the Archangel, and coincidentally or providentially, that the book of Tobias happens to be our scripture study on Tuesday evening. So very happy happenstance, as it's called. So we're reading how St. Raphael appears to the young Tobias and then to the older Tobias, who has gone blind because of an accident that God allowed to befall him. They don't know who he is at first. He's going to reveal himself later on, but he is going to be the guide to Tobias, the younger Tobias, on a difficult journey. He is going to help him find a wife, and one, a very deeply suffering person who is going to, of course, be a wonderful wife for him, Sarah. And he's going to bring about that happy marriage and also heal the blindness of the elder Tobias. So it's a story, the book of Tobias is a story of suffering. The elder Tobias and Sarah, who is going to be his future daughter-in-law. But there is a happy ending when we see the blessings that came from the ministry of St. Raphael. So I do invite you to come to Tuesday evening doctrine classes as we study this sacred scriptures, the revealed word of God. So, again, as I said, we're in the month of October. And do the angels pray the Hail Mary? And needless to say, they would pray it with a fervor and a love and a devotion that far exceeds what we can do, because they are in heaven. Now, the angels cannot pray the entire Hail Mary. They can pray it as far as Holy Mary, Mother of God. But I do not see how they can be asking Our Lady to pray for them, because they are have been in their place of reward. There's nothing more to be achieved. And certainly they cannot say, pray for us at the hour of our death. Angels don't have bodies. They don't die. But they most certainly can and do pray the Hail Mary. They honor her, just as they, first of all, honor God with the highest honor of all, which is that of adoration. But it is entirely proper for them to also honor Our Lady. She's the Queen of heaven and earth. God made her such. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. How does that not continue to be the truth, even more so that Our Lady has been in heaven for the past 2,000 years? Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. She continues to be the most blessed among all women. She will be so for all eternity. Why wouldn't they say that? These wonderful words of Holy Scripture. And remind those that are Bible believers, but unfortunately not honorers of Mary, it's right in Scripture. The angel Gabriel told Our Lady, three things in the very first sentence. You are full of grace to an overflowing degree. That's what's really meant by full of grace, not just highly favored one or you're special in some ways. No, blessed, full of grace to overflowing, which is, by the way, an implicit argument of her immaculate conception, that she was never without grace. Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, not may the Lord be with thee, as you hear the priest say five or six times to you during the Mass, Dominus vobiscum, may the Lord be with you. No, the Lord is with you. He has always been most closely united with Mary because she always pleased him. Blessed art thou among women, the angel Gabriel said. And it was echoed by Elizabeth. I believe this story is in St. Louis Rita Monfort's book, The Secret of the Rosary. And if you haven't read it yet, there's a week left of October, this special month of the Rosary. Read St. Louis Rita Monfort's Secret of the Rosary. You will be greatly inspired. But I believe that this story is in there where a saint was able to see the court of heaven saying the praises of Jesus and Mary, and I believe they were saying the Hail Mary. And remember how St. Paul says, it's also in Philippians, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, both in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And the saint could see everyone genuflecting in heaven, literally. Now, obviously, the angels don't have a body, so they would have to take on some kind of an appearance of a body for him to see them in this vision. And obviously, the resurrection of the body hasn't happened yet, so the saints in heaven are without their bodies. Of course, not our Lord, not our Lady. They do absolutely have their bodies. But they all genuflected, and not only that, it forced the demons and those in hell, all the damned, to also genuflect. But that's a different kind of genuflection. It's one of forced compliance and hate. But St. Paul says, every knee should bend. The church doesn't demand that we do that every time we hear the name of Jesus. But you'll notice that when it occurs in the Mass on Palm Sunday and one or two other days of the year, we do, in fact, genuflect. But how beautiful it was to see the whole court of heaven genuflecting, literally fulfilling St. Paul's word in Philippians, and bowing deeply their heads at the name of Mary. So this is the Catholic custom for us. You'll notice the priest does it at the altar. He bows his head at the names of Jesus and Mary. And we are all encouraged to do this in the praying of the Rosary. So the angels, do they pray the Hail Mary? I am completely convinced that they do, at least that part where they can. But they don't need Our Lady's prayers. They're already in their glory, and they certainly will never die, so they can't pray all of it. But we in this life can and must pray the rosaries very frequently. You know, this powerful weapon, and it has been compared to the sling of David. You know, Goliath just laughed at David. What are you, shepherd boy, going to do against me? He had the utmost scorn. And yet that sling and one little stone, what didn't look very important, brought about the fall of Goliath. And all David had to do, once that pebble hit him straight in the forehead at high speed. All he had to do then is cut off his head. So the rosary doesn't seem that powerful, does it? But again, think of David's sling and what that pebble did. How humiliating for the giant to be felled in this way. So if we ever think of the rosary and the scapular, just such simple things, just remember when they're used, they bring about amazing results. I came across a little summary of some of the things that Pope Leo XIII said about the rosary. Now, he was pope from, I believe, 1878 to 1903. And these are just some of the things he said about the rosary. Please listen. It is fitting that there should be recorded the acts of the Holy Father concerning the rosary. On September 1st, 1883, he issued the encyclical letter Supremi Apostolatus Officio, in which the devotion of the rosary was earnestly put forward as the great means of prayer against present evils, and its recitation during the month of October enjoined. This may be called the formal institution of October as the Rosary Month. So we have Pope Leo XIII to thank for that. On the 20th of November of the same year, he addressed apostolic letters to the Father General of the Dominican Order, praising the effect of his encyclical on the Rosary in the rosary devotions during October, and declaring that the petition, Queen of the Most Holy Rosary, should be inserted to the litany. On December 10th, a decree was issued ordering that insertion in the litany of Loreto. On December 24th, a brief was published repeating the same order and expressing the desire of His Holiness that the rosary should be recited daily in cathedral churches throughout the world and in parish churches on Sundays and feast days. On August 30th of the following year, the Holy Father issued another encyclical in which, after expressing his great joy at the celebration of the month of the Holy Rosary, he commanded the same for the ensuing month of October. In 1885, he established the Rosary Month to be continued until the peace and liberty of the Church be restored. Now remember, he was living in the 19th century, and it was a terrible century when you think of the collapse of one Catholic monarchy after another. That was the age of revolution. The Freemasons were getting a stronger hold. The spirit of rebellion was coming out stronger and stronger. The principles of the rationalists and the rejectors of faith was becoming stronger. And as I said, many monarchies collapsed. And that was a plan to bring about the demise of Christendom. And you know what? They succeeded. You know, one of the most poignant things that Bishop Sheen even mentioned, he says, Christendom is dead. Not Christianity, not the Catholic Church, Christendom. The collection of Catholic countries. There are none left. Where Catholicism is the religion of the land, where the rulers are Catholic. But these tragedies would not have happened, at least to not to the degree they did, if the rosary had been prayed more, and if the words of Pope Leo XIII and other popes had been taken more to heart. So, He's writing in this century where he's the prisoner in the Vatican. Why? Because the Freemasons had ripped away the papal states from the church. And in protest, he, Pope Pius XI, Pope Pius XIII, Pope St. Pius X, Benedict XV, and even Pius XI. They are all going to call themselves the prisoners of the Vatican because of the incredible injustice caused by the Freemasonic revolution and government of Italy taking away the church's lands from the church. Peace was made in 1929 with the Lateran Treaty. So I just want you to understand that Pope Leo XIII was living in very difficult times. And what is he saying? Pray the rosary. We have this powerful weapon. We must use it. It will not only bring about the conversion of many to the faith, it will also help bring about peace. I would wager to say that if Pope Leo XIII's teachings had been heeded better, World War I would not have happened. And then Our Lady at Fatima in 1917 says, pray the rosary for peace in the world. We don't have enough appreciation, do we, for the power of the rosary, what it can and does do. So, in this year 1885, he established the Rosary Month to be continued, as I said, until the peace and liberty of the church be restored. On September 11th, 1887, the festival of the Holy Rosary was raised to double of the second class. And now we have, since that time, papal decrees declaring the importance of the prayers to our Blessed Mother, the value of their constant recitation, and assigning a proper mass and office for the Feast of the Holy Rosary. Among the numerous praises of the Rosary scattered through these pontifical documents, these will be remembered and quoted in time to come. May the Christian nations cling more and more to the practice of the Rosary, to which our ancestors had recourse as an ever-ready refuge in misfortune and as a glorious pledge and proof of Christian faith and devotion. We have desired and desire nothing more ardently than that the fervor of the faithful in performing the devotion of the Rosary should not languish but should remain firm, the Holy Father desiring to increase the devotion towards the Mother of God, especially by this form of prayer most pleasing to her. Amongst the various forms of prayer used in the church piously and well, the Rosary has many titles of praise, especially this, that it was instituted to implore the help of the Mother of God against the enemies of the faith. And as all know, it has frequently consoled the church in trial. We read in today's gospel how our Lord says, render to Caesar what is Caesar's, render to God what is God's. What that means is that the church has authority in spiritual and moral matters. The state has authority only in political matters, things that are not issues of faith and morals. And what we see over and over again in history is where Caesar, the power of the state, exceeds its limits and starts to make decisions about faith and morals, which it has no right to do. So how do we limit Caesar to those limits that he should keep? Again, Pope Leo XIII says the Rosary has brought this about time and time again, and it will continue to do so. Not only, therefore, is it proper for private prayer, but also for public occasions. This form of prayer should be restored to the honor it long held when every Christian family marked each day with its recital. So there you have it. The Vicar of Christ saying this is what should be happening in every Catholic family. Praying the Rosary daily. And he says, and don't just pray it privately in the home, pray it publicly. Again, the more people are involved in a rosary, the more powerful it gets. Exponentially, I believe. Remember that beautiful rosary procession we have during the Fatima conference or during the rosary marches we have downtown? There's a multiplication factor happening. That more and more powerfully increases the power of each individual and collectively. Hence, we exhort and beseech all to say the rosary every day with constancy. Care must be taken that in these sad times for the church, the holy custom of saying the rosary be carefully observed, especially as this form of prayer is excellently suited to nourish the spirit of devotion. There's a lot more that Pope Leo XIII said. On average, he wrote an encyclical on the rosary for each year that he was pope, on average. And he said, meditating on the joyful mysteries helps us to live the simpler life, you know, a life not in pursuit of materialism and you know, honor for honor's sake. He says, look at the way the Holy Family lived. Look at their virtue. Look at their simplicity. Look at their poverty. Look at their devotion to duty. In the sorrowful mysteries, we will be inspired to have true contrition for our sins when we see the horrible price that Christ paid for our sins. And then in the glorious mysteries, we'll be reminded we're pilgrims to look up to heaven. We're not meant for this life. We need to keep our eyes on heaven. So on this Mission Sunday then, what will help bring about the salvation of souls? What will help make people open to the faith? Praying the rosary. If you can get somebody to pray the rosary, you will be very, very far in helping that person convert to the true faith, outside of which there is no salvation, as we know. It opens their eyes. It waters the soil of their soul, so to speak. It makes the Word of God grow in their souls. So on this Mission Sunday, on this feast of the Archangel Raphael, who I'm sure has prayed many a time the Hail Mary, the part that he can, with great of devotion and fervor during this month of the Holy Rosary, I ask you all to continue your devotion to Our Lady's Rosary, grow in it, be apostles of the Rosary, share that with others. Invite non-Catholic neighbors to come to the Rosary. If they're willing to do that, again, how readily will they convert? So if you have the block Rosary, don't just limit it to Catholics. Let's share it. Let's be apostles of this wonderful, spiritual, powerful sling that will defeat so much evil and bring about so much good. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.